dbkmediaservices.com. Listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SBC Sports Talk Podcast. SBC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Sports. And now, here are your hosts, Shane Combs and Bruce Knox.
Hello there, SVC sports fans, and welcome in to another edition of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk. I am Bruce Knox, one of your hosts, and I'd like to introduce the main man, the top guy, the head cheese, the pick of the pack, number one and rising higher all the time, the real brains behind the outfit, Mr. Shane Combs. Shane, how are you this evening?
Doing well, Bruce. How about you?
I'm doing pretty well. We're taping again on Sunday night, and we've got a jam-packed show for you, so hang in there. Show 188. First, we want to give a shout-out again to Triple Crown Family Fun Center. They are our billboard sponsor, located at 1 Nancy Wilson Way in Chillicothe, just behind the Hampton Inn, right off of Broad Street. Of course, they are open 7 days a week for all kinds of fun and good food and all kinds of things you can find there. Give them a call at 740-773-PLAY. Stop in from 11 a.m. daily to 10 p.m. or look them up on the internet at www.triplecrownfamilyfuncenter.com. We appreciate their sponsorship. Shane, why don't you kind of give us a look-see, if you will, at this week's program here, this week's agenda.
All right. Well, I think, Bruce, if I look at the big rocks on the show this week, all leagues seems to always come across the inbox and conversations this time of year as you get to the end of the regular season. So for baseball and softball, we have a lot of all league questioning in here. Factors, influences, what are selections and why. We even had a throwback on Have a Clue Blue. I don't know that we'll be able to get to the detail of that, but it was a really good one in the inbox this week about handling a walk situation with someone on third and what is a live situation, and the person that sent it in was really well educated on the rule, and to let that particular listener know, because I know it's one of our top listeners, from what I could tell, you know, was really spot on in the observation of the rule, and it really makes you stop and think sometimes when a walk occurs, the ball's live. You know what I mean? Especially a guy on third. So if that runner takes off running, oftentimes you'll use the old school little league play where they're rounding first hard. And in this case, you know, a lot of coaches will sneak that ball down there to the first baseman with a quick throw. And, you know, and there's different times of the way we intentionally walk someone in high school sports and the way you actually are live ball on the walk. You know, compared to, say, a hit batsman might be a dead ball, that type of thing. So you really got to educate yourself on when is the ball still live and when is the ball, you know, considered dead. And so that was interesting. But probably the most enjoyable thing is to see them use the terminology Have a Clue Blue.
Yeah.
People who have listened to the show over our entire history know that we've done some umpiring section segments there. That was kind of fun. Obviously, getting ready for tournament, we'll talk a little bit of brackets and some different things. Had the junior high track meet this past week out at the Paint Valley, the SVC Championships. Congratulations to Zane Trace, boys and girls. You can check that out on the website. And then I guess we even try to throw in a little early conversation here in the show, Bruce, on the high school track. So I'm sure I'm leaving something out. Those are the three or four major things that seem to be on my mind this week, and looking forward to a great show.
All right. Here on the agenda, we've got the mention of, first of all, Crown Hill Golf Club. And when you mentioned their track, we want to talk a little bit about the SVC Championships coming up.
Yeah, I mean, I want to give a shout out to Crown Hill. You heard me mention last week they have the upcoming host of my brother's basketball program, Vinton County. They're there.
Yes, sir.
I saw where on Twitter they're going to be hosting a Westfall football. I know I enjoy getting out a lot of times. Any of the programs I can support, plus play a little golf on the weekend, I enjoy doing.
You do it for the kids, really, don't you?
Yeah. I mean, and you just try to support. Well, as a coach, in all seriousness, as a coach, you understand how valuable those fundraisers are to you know, making the program go, be it uniforms, facilities, whatever it might be, equipment. I would give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. They also do a good job of really highlighting some things throughout, you know, throughout some of the social media and so forth. But I tell you, it's they have a lot going on. They're really SVC involved, and appreciate all that they do for the website. But yeah, you know, going back to your question there, Bruce, on the SVC track meet coming up. I believe it's a Monday, Friday this year. Southeastern hosts that. Southeastern has a real nice, wide open facility mm-hmm. out there. Really fan friendly. Just a good place to host. And I guess what I'm looking forward to, the SVC meet track, the enrollment is more of a factor than just maybe any other sport. I mean, a lot of times what happens with the Uniode and Zane Traces of the world is they're simply able to enrollment you to death, I call it. You mm-hmm. know, they just constantly place and score. A lot of times they double score, you know, in so many events because they can spread the athletes into some specialty events and still have enough athletes left over to compete really well in some of the relays. And before you know it, even in the years where they might not have the star power and win a lot of events, you see them just the way they add up their points so quickly. Well, I guess what's so intriguing to me this year is, you know, Uniode and Zane Trace obviously has that. You know, as we highlight on the website later this week, you're going to see a long list of some track stars there from Uniode and Zane Trace. But I guess I'm interested to see, can the smaller schools start to use some of their star power to make this meet maybe a little bit closer than it's been in years past. When I see a small school like Paint Valley will probably come right out and go 1-2 or at least right up there toward the top in the throwing events with Ott and Burton.
Right.
Or on the girls' side, a Piketon's Cammie Chandler, who's our Herbie Strange Athlete of the Week. Congratulations to her. She had broken, I think it was a 31-year-old, I don't have that in front of me, a 31-year-old Piketon school record. But people that know her from volleyball and so forth know that she's a gifted athlete. Or an Ella Skeens, the type of kid that can go out and impact track meet in 3-4 different areas. So I guess that's what I always get intrigued by. And it's also interesting to hear some of these small school coaches. They'll tell you, hey, I'm trying to get some of our top athletes to the banquet. And keep in mind, you got to win an event to do that. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, in their mind, they're almost. Remember, we talked last week about how track doesn't really get serious till now. Mm-hmm. Some of those smaller division athletes are still a week or two away from wanting to peak because, I know, for example, when you look at some of the scoring, even if Paint Valley can't on the boys' side compete maybe with the enrollment of one or two of those schools, Paint Valley is going to have a chance all the way as high as maybe the regional level of really competing as a team at somewhat of a high level there. So going to be interesting to follow that. But I think once we get this is the first scoreboard, if you will, the results, you know, mm-hmm. that I start to pay attention to, because this is really the first full time that the coaches will show their hands, and you start to get a feel for what athletes are going to be doing what into the postseason.
Okay, and that is coming up what night?
I believe it's Monday and Friday, and that's at Southeastern High School. So you can check out the results. We'll have a nice headline and a nice spread on some of those results there later in the weekend. There probably Friday, late Friday night, I'll have it up there.
Okay, we'll look forward to seeing that. And we'll move on then to baseball and softball. And the end of the regular season means postseason awards. Next, we'll talk all league honors for both baseball and softball. Well, show 188 of the Triple Crown Family Fun Center SVC Sports Talk rolls on here. And we're going to take our first look into the inbox, some of which Shane kind of teased you with earlier. That is brought to you by CNK Athletic Equipment. They are your source for local school apparel. They have a headwear and sports equipment, fitness gear, and all kinds of sports accessories located up there in Circleville at 116 East High Street. Phone number 740-477-9828. They are open 10 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturday 9 a.m. to 12, and Sunday they are closed. So we are moving into nearly the postseason, I guess you could say, and that brings about awards. And the big question this week from fans and lots of talks and lots of emails is or are the all-league selections. And I know you kind of play a little role in that as being a coach and so forth. And what do you think are the major factors that most people consider when kind of helping out and picking these?
Well, there's probably four or five that come to mind. And you know, we talk about this, it seems, in every sport this time of year, as you get to the end, be it volleyball, basketball, baseball, softball, mm-hmm. whatever it might be. And obviously standings play a role. Where you finish in the league is going to influence a lot of the voters or their feeling in terms of maybe taking care of some of the teams in the top half of the standings. And that might seem obvious to some people, but you know, oftentimes there's another side of that argument that says, you know, a lot of times a roster can be top heavy where they'll have a couple all league kids, say, on a bottom half team. But mm-hmm. then what happens is where, you know, to use an example this year, maybe in say softball, the difference might be for Westfall might not just be the top couple players. It might be their depth of their fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh best player. So a lot of times, you know, that doesn't show up in an all league type of vote. So standings is a factor, but the way people look at the standings can sometimes differ. Head to head, a lot of coaches will tell you, I really look at the way a kid performed against me. Mm-hmm. If you agree, disagree with that, that's certainly a factor out there in terms of, you know, throughout a head to head matchup or in your scouting or your extended scouting. Obviously, as we've talked over and over on SVC Sports Talk, stats play a role.
Yeah.
I would even say the age of a person can play a role. A lot of times early in their career, they might be up against a little bit of a tough situation if it's, say, a freshman versus senior in terms of the way, you know, coaches a lot of times look to that older player. So those are probably some of the ones, Bruce, that jump out at me: standings, head-to-head, stats, age, just to name some of the key ones.
Well, how do you agree with the way things are done in this respect, or is Shane Combs someplace out in left field on some of these?
No, I do for the most part. I think for me, I'm very thorough in this. I think anyone who's listened to SVC Sports Talk,
right,
in listening to me say do my volleyball team every year, my basketball team every year, you know, you can times that by about 10 when it comes to being an official coach vote. And I'm very thorough in being fair to all the kids around the league. I think that you try to take all of those different factors in, you try to sort it out. And what happens for me is I'm in a weird situation because I can go from coach versus fan or fan versus media member or so forth. You know, I can wear a lot of different hats when going to talk all league. Mm-hmm. And you might say, well, what's the difference? Well, there is a little bit, because the way I evaluate something as a coach certainly could be a little different if I'm just sitting in the stands evaluating it as a fan or as a media member. Remember when Derek Webb was on here with us, he talked to us a little bit about that, about how, you know, a lot of times as a media member, he respected what a coach said, but maybe he looked at it differently through the eyes of a fan or a media member or statistically or so forth. So I probably end up bringing a little bit in all of that into play and kind of make a real thorough observation and then kind of go from there. But yeah, I agree with most of those factors. Obviously you're never going to agree perfectly, but I can tell you that, you know, the coaches work really hard at it and more times than not get it right.
Well, obviously in baseball, you've been a part of the official vote, which I understand took place earlier today as we're taping on Sunday. So, and you're not going to, you know, let anything out of the bag here, but what would you be willing to share with the fans and with our listening audience about, you know, what went on?
Well, just for the professionalism side of it, you know, they don't release that until Wednesday morning, or technically you'll see us put it out Tuesday night, midnight there, you know, going into Wednesday. So in case people, I know a lot of people listen late Monday night, early Tuesday. So to be professional with my obligation there, I won't say actual results, but I would certainly say that I feel like the coaches, like always, really, really worked hard at it, and they take the process serious. Keep in mind, the SVC does this really well. When I talk to a lot of friends and family and different people around different conferences, our conference gets a lot right. I mean, we do things really, really well in terms of our procedures, in terms of the way we actually honor the kids. And at the end of the day, people, I've said this over the last 2 or 3 weeks, people get so worked up about this parents matter, this kids matter, this, you know, we shouldn't even have this or this or this. To me, that's ignorant. I mean, you know, we as a coaching staff this evening got together and we honored, you know, a top 18 in our league, and we honored several other kids in honorable mention, and the softball coaches were in there before us and did the same thing. How in the world is that a bad thing? You know what I mean? You know, you're always going to have people, you know, some people just like to complain just because. I mean, you could tell them that, you know, the sky's blue, and they'll be, oh, no, it's not. You know what I mean? It's just, that's what they're going to do. So, you know, I just assume look past people like that and make it more about the kids and about our league. And so that's probably what I would share is, you know, we can get into some more details in terms of these factors, in terms of how, you know, you'll see some things, how the standing certainly can impact, but at the same time, you'll see where age maybe sometimes impacted the vote. You'll see certain things where statistics played maybe a little bit of a role. I'll be honest, I don't know how much statistics played a total role this year. I think probably some of the other factors, if I were going to tease the fans a little bit, I think some of the other factors seem to maybe impact this year's list a little bit more. You hear me always talk about how tough it is from, say, a pitcher to a position player, and so forth. So I would say that's the thing I would love to get the feedback on is we talk about, you know, different things of how you say you look at a Casey White or a Drake Stanforth or these kids that, you know, or say a Hopkins that catches at Southeastern or kids like that. Or, you know, I know the kids at Westfall that really can hit, Armin Trout Frazier. How do you evaluate some of those particular kids? Beam at Zane Trace is another one. Now, Winans, I think, on our Adena Sports Medicine led the league in hitting. How does that impact statistically going in? So, There's a lot of things there in the baseball that I think as you observe the list, you'll be able to maybe pick and choose on what factors influence the coaches the most.
Okay, Shane, as part of this, of course, there's Coach of the Year. Is there anything you can share with respect to that about what the considerations are and so forth?
Well, I think what I would be willing to share here is I would be willing to give the fans an example of how maybe from coach to say media member or fan I talked about earlier. You know, obviously as a coach, we have a great deal of respect for each other. I've said that before. The one thing that makes our baseball league unique is we're really good friends across the board. We have pretty good relationships. And, you know, so I have a high level of respect for all the coaches. Now, in this particular year, you know, Tony Taylor wins the league. And for me, you know, Tony was probably, in my mind, the preseason pick. Well, and some people would say, well, that doesn't really make him Coach of the Year. I guess where I would argue that in my mind it does is the fact that a lot of times, I know it's quote-unquote Coach of the Year, but, you know, Bruce, a lot of times what happens is you don't just show up this year and win the SVC championship. A lot of times that is 1, 2, 3 years in the making. I think any championship team would tell you that, you know, they've grown through a process and they've gotten better and they've developed and done that. And I think that's what really jumps out at me about the job Tony's done with this group. Now, I certainly think Ron Allen has done a great job this year. They've really figured out different types of ways to win, and you know, when you consider what he lost last year and what he's just been able to throw in, and how Zane Trace just hits top to bottom, the job that he does in terms of teaching hitting and so forth is such a good mindset. Not just the technique, but it's almost a personality and a mindset that his kids get. We always joke that you could lock the Zane Trace kids in a hole for 2 weeks and they would you know, they would come on out, dust themselves off, and go 4 for 5. You know what I mean? It's they can just hit. And so it's really neat to see some of those things. But I guess in terms of from coach to fan to media member, that might be a different way I look at, you know, the job that, say, a Tony Taylor's done as well as a Ron Allen. And you know, the coach and me, I will share that. The coach and me voted for Tony Taylor this evening just out of respect for the process in terms of what I know that those kids have gone through in starting as young kids and now moving up into their junior and senior year and becoming champions.
You've been talking mostly about baseball. Let's kind of move over to softball a little bit. What are your any feelings you might have about the selection for softball this year?
Yeah, I think the thing that jumps out at me right away is the player of the year vote is fascinating to me. I mean, you have a Division I college signee in Michaela Newland. Mm-hmm. Then you have Becca Brown there at Westfall. I think she hit her 9th home run the other day. You're talking about a kid that, you know, we talk a little bit about career here. Obviously, Michaela has the 1,000 strikeouts, where Brown has a state championship ring. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? You know, so there's some fascination there that I'm getting from a lot of different people on how are they going to vote that? Is it just pure best player? Is it best year? You know, obviously, we always say here at the website, statistically for Westfall, it's a guessing game. We don't really always know. But I think, and softball people, tell me if I'm wrong here, these are just my opinions, girls are not as balanced. I think it's a different feel. I think you have the top couple teams up there at the top of the standings, and I'm not saying that Uniota, Huntington, and Piketon haven't been capable, because they have. You know, Piketon beat Paint Valley once, Huntington beat Paint Valley once. So I'm not saying they haven't been capable, but I think in the overall big picture, the difference in the top 2 to 3 teams compared to the bottom 2 or 3 teams is crazy. Whereas in baseball, really, if you look at the final scores and follow them throughout the whole year, we've had pretty incredible balance, particularly at least 2 through 8. Uniota separated themselves at time, but even Uniota was in some total dogfights with teams at the bottom, you know, mm-hmm. in terms of from 4 down. I know Westfall gave them a tight game. Piketon gave them a tough game. Huntington played them tight. So really, 1 through 8, you look at Paint Valley, Adina going toe-to-toe. Paint Valley beat Zane Trace. Huntington beat Zane Trace twice. So really, in baseball, I think there's a lot more of the parity. And I wonder how that will influence it. You know, Bruce, will they still take care of some of the kids on the bottom 3 or 4 teams, or will you see a real top-heavy all-league squad from those top 3 or 4 teams? And how might that affect the player of the year race? You know, if Paint Valley is only going to get 2, maybe a third girl, is Westfall up for maybe as many as 4? You know, so that's really intriguing to me from a coach's eye, but then just as a media member fan, when that list comes out, I guess that's what I'm kind of looking for, because I look down through, like, say, a Uniota roster, And we see with Campbell and Pinkerton and what Fisher's done and Hold. And then, you know, I look through with what Westfall with Fulton and Terry and Robinson and, gosh, my Minor. I mean, you almost have to name the entire lineup. Like, they had 4 home runs the other night to win. Westfall did. So that's really intriguing to me to see how they're going to sort all that out, not just in the player of the year, but really as we get from 3 down to 18 to see if all the teams are going to be represented, and if so, with how many.
Yeah, and just in the interest of full disclosure, you did not have any inside information with regards to softball. You're just as an outsider.
Yeah, yeah.
Baseball, you did. Softball,
I have an idea of 1 or 2 different results from softball, but I did not know the list. No, okay. Not at all.
Well, we talked in baseball about your thoughts on Coach of the Year. Where are your thoughts on Coach of the Year for softball?
Well, I think you have to go to the top there again with what Coach Redmond's in there at Westfall. Phenomenal job. You know, obviously, with the state championship going back and what they have had growing up, and the way Brown's evolved as a pitcher and so forth. Obviously, Medved's right there in the mix, too. What he's done at a small school, you've heard me talk a little biased about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we were lucky enough to finish second in the league there a couple years back, I talked about how that was almost an equal accomplishment in our eyes, in our personal accomplishment, you know, as a program compared to almost winning a district title. So I'm really happy for Coach Medved. He and I go way back, coached together when I was a younger coach, and I think he would be worthy as well. So, you know, I don't know if they'll go with the standard, you know, Westfall at the top equals coach of the year, or if Coach Medved would get that honor, but I think both would be very deserving.
Okay. Interesting, though, when we'll be looking forward to Wednesday morning when the results will be out there. So,
no question.
Okay. Let's move on to our extra innings.
Yeah, let's give Crown Hill Golf Club another shout out there, 740-986-GOLF. Give them a call. Tell them Shane at SVC Sports Talk sent you, and tell them I was encouraging you to ask about the different memberships and some of the different things. I'm looking forward as summer rolls around here, getting up there again and getting my different package set up to where I can get up there and play a little bit. I hope to even play in a couple of their scrambles coming up. Check them out there again. Give them a call, 740-986-GOLF. That's Crown Hill Golf Club. And, you know, Bruce, as I look tonight at the extra innings, I'm still talking a little bit of the all-league selections and maybe breaking down a couple extra little things here to give the fans something to think about and maybe generate some discussion with them.
In looking at all the decisions of the coaches, what do you feel the toughest decision will be?
Well, I think in the baseball side, I'm going to go back to what I said earlier. I think the toughest decision comes down to all the time sorting out pitching versus position player. And I know people get sick of hearing it, but what happens is until we separate it, you just find yourself favoring the pitcher. The pitcher is such a dominant part of the game. You know, it's not to say the catcher is not important. It's not to say the defense isn't important and the offense has to support. But the pitcher, when you start being so dominant that you can start to strike out at a high rate and so forth, you can really take a game over. I think that really becomes a difficult thing, and I think that leads you right into the player of the year of softball. I think the softball coaches have their toughest decision right from the start, and how they sort that out is going to be really difficult.
With all league selections being for just the individual season, one fan wants to know if a player's career numbers should influence all league voting.
I think they have to. I mean, here's the way I look at that is the longevity of them going through your league. A lot of times what happens in the good programs, Bruce, is, you know, they may be waiting their turn even, so to speak, in all league. Because, you know, if they've grown up as a sophomore and a junior and they've had really, really good players ahead of them, even your good teams aren't going to start getting 5-6 kids mentioned. You know what I mean? So it's one of those if they've had 2 or 3 elite players in front of them, they might have been waiting their turn to kind of move up on their own team list. So when you see some of the milestones of a Michaela Newland striking out 1,000, or I know B. Smith had his 100 stolen base the other day for Huntington in his career. We've had some kids coming up on 100 career hits throughout our league. That's a big deal. So to me, I understand it's for this year, but yeah, I think as kids pay their dues to their program and they've proven a longevity to coaches, I think it's human nature to kind of have that weigh on your mind a little bit. So yeah, I have no problem with some career numbers influencing the vote.
Would you be in favor of the league naming all league by position rather than the top 18 in general? Why or why not?
No, I wouldn't. I think we do it right. I know going way, way back here, probably almost 30 years now, they had flirted with that idea for a while. I don't know that that's the best way to go. First of all, in high school sports at small schools, we're dealing with a lot of D3 schools and so forth. I don't know that you can really settle into, hey, this kid is a second baseman or this kid is a shortstop. You know, a lot of times what happens is, one all-league player might be a pitcher, a right fielder, and a third baseman. You know, so I think that becomes very difficult. I think it becomes gray area. I think that almost manipulates things more than anything. And I just don't think that, and again, it's not that every position isn't important, but, you know, a lot of times, you know, the third, fourth, fifth best shortstop in the league might be better than the first or second left fielder. You know what I mean? It's just so I think you're not truly getting the best overall players. So I think, is that unfair to some of those other positions? Yeah, probably. But I think in high school sports, we talked last week about building up the middle, with your catchers and your center fielders and your middle infielders or so forth. Now, that doesn't mean you'll see on the all-league squad that we have some other kids making it and so forth. But I just think that the way we do it's a much better way. You know, anything that puts more control into the coach's hands is a good thing. Now, I understand I'm a coach saying that, but it's a situation that the coaches care a lot about this and take it serious. So the more control they have, usually the better the results are going to be.
And Extra Innings is brought to you by Crown Hill Golf Club, located at 9500 U.S. Route 22 West in Williamsport, Ohio. Give them a call, 740-986-4653. They will work with you to meet your needs, your golfing needs, and we all have those golfing needs. Well, a lot of our shows are brought about by the content, rather, brought about by your information that you submit to us, whether it's, hey, I agree with you, or hey, I don't agree with you, or what do you think about this? And we'd like to have your input for shows in the future. We have one more show to go this season, but there's always next season. And you can provide that input by getting a hold of Shane. First, you can do that through the old email. Give him a chance to pull something out of the inbox. His email address is admin1@svcsportzone.com. Also can contact him, hit him up on Facebook. It has two different profiles there. And then you can follow him and correspond with him on Twitter. His handle there is @svcsportzone.com. We'd love to have your input. We got just the one more show to go. I guess it'll be show 189, and then we'll start the new year, whenever we do start, late August, early September, or whatever, with show 190. Shane, can't believe that.
Yeah, that's awesome.
It
yeah.
is. We've been around for a few years. I think that'll be season 7, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Well, let's move into what we know here, and that is the SVC champions. First, Uniondo for baseball and Westfall for softball. It's been a heck of a season for both of those teams.
Yeah, and I think the intriguing thing here in this discussion, Bruce, is how they arrived there. It's a situation where I think all championship teams at some point in the year have to be able to win a game, say 10-9, but also 1-0. And obviously, it starts with pitching. In softball, you have Newland and Brown. We've talked about that a lot. You have the good catching with McFadden and Terry there as well. And then, you know, Westfall does it even with some offense. And that's probably, at the end of the day, that's probably the difference between, say, Westfall and Paint Valley is just Westfall's ability on the nights they needed to. You know, Brown didn't have to quite be as perfect as Newland because of all those names I named earlier where Westfall can really hit the ball out of the ballpark and score a little bit. And then on the baseball side, Uniondo does it with just incredible depth of pitching. Obviously, Patterson was outstanding. Edler, Sigler, Uten—they were really good. And you know their offense was a mystery at times, but overall they created a just enough to get the job done. But I think most people would tell you that Uniondo's pitching and defense was how they arrived there, and that'll be interesting going into the postseason, which we'll talk about here a little bit at the end in terms of how that correlates over. But give those two teams a lot of credit. When I compare and contrast them there, I just that's probably the biggest thing that comes out in my mind is Westfall's ability to maybe outslug you just a little bit more. And then Uniondo's, keep in mind, there is no depth of pitching in softball. The difference there in baseball is Uniondo's depth. It's not just it's just not Patterson going toe to toe with your number one. It's their ability to beat you with their number two, three, and four. And that probably at the end of the day was the difference in the league title there in baseball.
Would you say one path is more impressive than the other in your mind?
Well, I know I'm going to come across as biased here, but I'll argue it. Take my coaching hat off. I'll just argue it as a fan. I think there's no question about the fact that the Uniota baseball runs far more impressive. And please, Westfall, understand, I'm not taking anything away. But really, in softball, it's a situation where it's so top heavy. You know, there was really only two to three teams that could really threaten those top teams. Mm-hmm. Where in baseball, it was proven. It's proven with Uniota, Zane Trace, and Adina that anybody across the league can beat them. You look at all the one-run games in terms of the way the league played out, and it was certainly a 14-game grind. I think Tony Taylor would be the first to tell you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All righty. Well, it's time now to move into our post-game comments. This is brought to you by C&K Athletic Equipment. Just give them a call up in Circleville, 740-477-9828, and let them know what you're looking for. They are your source for local school apparel, including the SVC. You'll also find fitness gear, headwear, and sports equipment, and also sports accessories up there. Open Monday through Friday, 10 to 5, Saturday, 9 to 12, and closed on Sunday. They are our sponsor for post-game comments as we move into the final segment here. And all kinds of things we've got going on here, Shane. I'll just kind of throw out, well, first of all, obviously we've got tournaments starting in baseball and softball. Your thoughts on those?
Well, I mean, you start with the baseball. You start with the SVC champions. I love Uniota's draw because, again, no matter what happens to the weather, no matter how much the games get pushed together, I like Uniota's ability to throw four different arms out there at any time during a game and have a chance to be successful. They have enough experience offensively to where now you will run into some really, really good arms in D2. There's no doubt about it. But, you know, they're a team that's experienced enough and ready to do quite well. Now in the Division III side of things, we are going to have some SVC teams beating up on each other.
Yeah.
Southeastern is in a brutal, brutal bracket with Oak Hill and Wheelersburg. Those are two good baseball teams. But, obviously Tanner Pop gives them a chance to be successful there. And that'll be interesting to see there. Now, we do have some SVC teams, as I mentioned, beating up on each other. It looks like Adina and Piketon could possibly come together in a final there. I know my PV squad, we go on the road to play the Southern Hills Athletic Conference, I believe they call themselves now, the champion, Eastern Brown. They went 11-2 in that conference this year. So we'll have a tough task there, and then we would go to Memphis if we were lucky enough to advance. But then as I scroll down here, the biggest SVC eye will probably be on the Zane Trace bracket, where Zane Trace, it's the 3 seed, plays Northwest, and then Huntington Westfall played some really tight games. They're going to go at it just in a sectional semifinal to get to the Zane Trace Northwest winner. And keep in mind, again, Huntington has beaten Zane Trace twice there. So a lot of interesting things to watch. Would not surprise me at the end of the day to see half of our league advancing out, or at least two or three teams having a shot to play for a district title. And then, in fairness to the softball, if we go over and take a look, you love Paint Valley's opportunity in Division IV. I know Portsmouth Clay has a really, really nice program down there. Leesburg, I believe, would be linked out there into their regional if they were to advance. That's who knocked them off last year. But obviously, if the Paint Valley offense can figure out just a way to generate just a little bit of offense, then they're capable of beating anybody they play. And then in the Division III side, you love the SVC. You know, Bruce, real quick, I think what's neat about this, remember how many questions I had taken about winning a sectional title in girls basketball?
Yeah.
I think softball almost mirrors itself back to volleyball a little bit, where a lot of our a lot of our softball we play seems to be, you know, at a high level in terms of when we get outside of our league. It's kind of interesting. You know, girls basketball, you win a sectional title, that's really good. If you make the district finals, that's phenomenal. Where, you know, I see more openness here again. More like a volleyball type of thing. I see Westfall with a great opportunity to advance out and have an opportunity to play for a district championship. I even see teams like, you know, Southeastern being a scary team there in the Wellston bracket. Keep in mind, Huntington's already beaten Wellston once this year. Wellston Piketon's in the bracket underneath them. Who's to say Huntington Piketon couldn't play for a district championship there on May 20th? So, you know, really, really pay attention to that to see if we don't see our league shine a little bit. And then certainly don't want to leave out Uniota softball there when we look to the Division II bracket. Uniota is going to play Warren there on the 10th. They are in Jackson's bracket, but if I don't have the scoreboard up in front of me, but I believe Uniota went toe-to-toe with Jackson earlier this year and competed quite well. So we'll see how all that plays out as we move into the postseason. But I'm excited to see how it plays out. Obviously, as a coach, we're excited to represent our league against the Southern Hills Athletic Conference champion there, Eastern Brown. But just as a fan, I'm also always intrigued to see how the other teams play out to see. And, you know, as we'll highlight it there on our scoreboard. We'll start to move the regular season to our archives page and kind of give way to the tournament scoreboard now, starting, I believe it's Tuesday or Wednesday night for most of our area.
It's just amazing to me that we're talking the end of the season, but it's there. So with that, and I mentioned that show 189 will be our final show for the year. What do you foresee for that show? Obviously, we'll be talking, you know, tournament baseball and softball and the results there. What about track as well?
Well, I think what I want to do, Bruce, if you're okay with it, you know, in the past, we did it more as a new year calendar wise, more like in the December, January timeframe, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And I could be wrong on that. You know, when you do 6 years or whatever we've done now, shows start to run together. But what I would like to do is I would like to recap our entire SVC year. I'm going to come up with a lot of the categories, you know, and fans feel free to give me some suggestions. I've been studying here over the last, doing my homework. Mm-hmm. I've been studying game of the year.
Okay.
Player of the year or athlete of the year. I like, you know, performance of the year. I think we had a heartbreak of the year in terms of heartbreak defeat. We might talk major milestone of the year and, you know, kids reaching certain milestones. We might talk storylines of the year. So I'm going to try to come up with some creative categories where we can look back and we can talk everything that has been 2016, 2017 SVC. And I think it could just be a fun opportunity to say the names of a lot of different athletes, remind people of some great performances, some great games. And then as we so cleverly named it the sport zoning, we will start to give our sport zoning away for each category. So I'll come up with some nominations. And again, fans, if you have some ideas for categories or nominations, let me know. And that's kind of the way we'll go about the show next week there, I think, because as we start to get into the postseason, unfortunately, that starts to eliminate teams and athletes. You know, track starts to get into theirs and kids, you know, might fail to qualify or move on. But this is a way for us to highlight them on the website. But then in terms of SVC Sports Talk, maybe cap off the year with a really fun show where we do that. So, you know, Bruce, I'll have to put you to work there a little bit on
we'll
your
get our crack
sound
staff
effects
on that right away. Yeah.
Yeah.
The research department is already licking their chops waiting for their assignments here, Shane. So,
and then the only other thing I will throw out there, you know, Bruce has always been real good with you know, some of the technology there at DBK Media Services and so forth. I did receive a couple phone calls and I had one email talking about would we be willing to jump in and help make sure that we're covering these teams that advance into the tournament. So like whatever KKJ is not able to pick up. And my response to them was, we just have to figure out the technology side of it. I know last year we had some hiccups on some of these softball locations and so forth. Yeah, I'm certainly not against it, Bruce. I know you've always been eager to try different things in terms of calling games live. So we certainly won't say no to that. We will tell people it's kind of a maybe based on the technology available to us. So we'll talk a little bit more about that next week. And I look forward to a really fun show, a unique show that maybe you only get to hear the one time a year. I think people really, really will enjoy it. So until next time, for Triple Crown Family Fun Center and Chillicothe, as well as all the other sponsors on the website, for Bruce Knox and all the people behind the scenes at DBK Media Services, this is Shane Combs reminding you to keep visiting SVCSportsZone.com, where we are 100% SVC, 100% of the time.
You've been listening to the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. SVC Sports Talk is brought to you by SVCSportsZone.com and Triple Crown Family Fun Center. Join us next time for the Triple Crown Family Fun Center, SVC Sports Talk. And visit SVCSportsZone.com, where we're 100% SVC, 100% of the time.